Good morning again. I'm not sure I said good morning to start the service. Yeah, this is always a fun day for me as a preacher to start a new sermon series. All right, yes. All right, yeah. Yay. We are starting a new sermon series in the book of 1 Corinthians, and I invite you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 as we embark on a new journey together as a congregation to walk through this letter from the Apostle Paul to the congregation in Corinth. And we'll hear God's word to us and receive the truths that God will impress upon our hearts as we walk through this wonderful book of the Bible. So let's read this text. Let's stand as we hear the first few verses of 1 Corinthians 1, verses 1 through 9. Would you please stand with me as we hear this word of God today? I read in Jesus' name. It says, Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift, as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Heavenly Father, as we come to your word this morning, we come with excitement to hear from you, that you would speak to us in these moments, that you would use this broken vessel of a messenger to proclaim your word to all of us here today, that we may receive your grace and mercy and truth today. We pray that you would open our eyes, open our hearts to what you would have us receive this morning. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. In Charles Dickens' classic story, A Christmas Carol, Ebenezer Scrooge, the main character, is visited by three spirits. And even though we're getting into summer here, there's a little bit of a Christmas flavor here in this. Ebenezer Scrooge is visited by the spirit of Christmas past, the spirit of Christmas present, and the spirit of Christmases yet to come. And spoiler alert, most of us know this story, but through those three views into the effect of his life, the effects of his actions were having on those around him, he comes to be led to repentance and to change his ways. Ebenezer, which is ironic because that name is a biblical word meaning thus far the Lord has helped me. And so as we begin this new sermon series on 1 Corinthians this morning, I'm inclined to do a reverse Christmas carol on us here. You see, Ebenezer Scrooge was shown the ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future in order for him to have his ways exposed and to have him change something and change and turn away in his life. And in these verses, as Paul, the Apostle Paul, opens up to this congregation in Corinth, he does talk about not spirits, like in Dickens' story, but the Holy Spirit that has come to this congregation, both in the past, right now, and in the future. And so the purpose that Paul has to start is, and by the way, we are going to get into some tough things in 1 Corinthians, but at least at the get-go here, as Paul starts this letter to this congregation, he wants to encourage them. He wants to bring grace and peace to them and to overwhelm them with God's goodness right away. And that's how he sets the tone for the rest of the letter in 1 Corinthians here. And so what we have is a message to the church. But before we really dive in, a couple of notes of background as we start this sermon series, just to understand a little bit of what Corinth was about, that town, also to understand what the congregation was like, what the culture was like, just a couple of notes for us. By way of background, Corinth itself had a reputation of immorality and materialism. And that immorality, that materialism, often seeped into the church. And some have described the church in Corinth as quote-unquote messed up. There's a sense that that's true of every congregation to one degree or another. There are varying degrees of scandals, fights, divisions, stuff that's not going right. By the way, I want to say right away, I'm not choosing this in order to pick on you and us as a congregation. Please don't think that. Really, I think if we were honest, all of us we're messed up in some way, right? Amen to that. And so I just want to put that as a disclaimer here. This is not chosen to try to pick on us in any sort of way. We're a messed up congregation, just like every other congregation is messed up in one way or another. All right? You tracking with me? Good. Okay. And in addition to that, we have to know a little bit about Corinth itself. Corinth as a city was visited by the Apostle Paul on his second missionary journey, which we heard in the scripture reading earlier when Ben was reading that. Acts 18 describes how the Apostle Paul came to the city of Corinth, and it describes a little bit of the actions there of what happened there on that missionary journey. Most likely, Paul was in Corinth for about a year and a half. Okay, so Paul was in the city of Corinth, worshiping, teaching, training, working with the congregation in Corinth. And so now, as he moved along in his missionary journeys, he's writing a letter back to this congregation of people that he knows, and he wants them to receive truths, and so he writes in this letter. All right, so with those background issues in mind, let's now dive into the content of this first section here, verses 1 through 9. And I mentioned before, there's a little bit of Christmas past, Christmas present, and Christmas future here. And Paul starts off by talking about what their status is right now as a church. The message to the church right now, right as we speak. What Paul does in verses 1 through 3 is he reminds the Corinthian Christians, who they are, what they are as a congregation, as a church. And he uses the word called a few times here. He himself is called as an apostle. Paul, called by the will of God, verse 1, to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and our brother Sosthenes. So Paul and Sosthenes are writing together this letter to the church that is in Corinth. And I want us to look at verse 2. And this is a verse that we tend to skip past these things, but I want us to reflect upon it now as we enter into this letter today. Paul says, this message is to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. So Paul is writing to a specific congregation, to the church of God in Corinth. If you were to drop a pin on your app with directions, you could find Corinth. Corinth, by the way, is in modern-day Greece, along the southern part of Greece. It's an actual city. Corinth, this congregation existed in a specific time and a specific place. And not only that, but these people, this congregation, he tells them this, that you are sanctified in Christ Jesus. And you are called to be saints together with every church in every place. And Paul wrote that to the Corinthian Christians, but there is a sense that that is true of every single congregation right now. Right now, we are a congregation, King of Glory Lutheran, in Shakopee, right here, right now, in this time, in this place. It hasn't always been the case, right? We've been in other places. You maybe have been a part of other churches. This used to be in Eden Prairie, right? King of Glory in Eden Prairie. But now, in this time, in this place, God has us in this location. And that's something that maybe we skip past when we hear that. But I want us to hear this letter coming to us today as a modern day congregation. God has us in this place, in this time, for His purposes. We are called together right now. God has called each one of us individually, pulled us together to be a church, to be a congregation right now and in this place. And not only that, but I love how Paul is, yes, he's going to get to some tough stuff in 1 Corinthians. He's going to deal with some serious issues. But at least at the get-go, he calls them sanctified in Christ Jesus. He says, you are called together to be saints together. No matter how messed up we are as churches, and no matter what church, like he mentions, every church in every place, no matter where you go, where you find a congregation, we are, as much as we have sin and failure, we are God's saints who have been made saints, declared righteous through Jesus Christ by faith. I think that's something that needs to sink into our minds and our hearts as we begin this letter, as we see how Paul speaks to the Corinthian congregation. So he writes to the church. He says, to the church, you are called together right now in this time, in this place. But not only that, he reminds them of what God has done in the past. He writes this message to them and he says, "You to the church right now, you guys have received grace in the past. Grace was given to you in the past." Look at verses 4 through 6 in this text. He says this, "I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given to you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in Him, in all speech, in all knowledge, even as a testimony about Christ was confirmed among you." Paul is saying to the Corinthian church, not only are you a congregation right now called together to be saints, holy ones, but God has done a work in your past. You have received grace before this time. God was working in you at a time in the past. Paul is thinking, he's writing to them from a different location, and he's saying, I remember that. I was with you for a year and a half. I remembered how God's grace came to you. We read a little bit about that in Acts 18, of how the word of God started to spread in Corinth. Believers came into the faith, came into the congregation, and the numbers were added together to form a church in that way. Paul is thanking God that they have received grace in Jesus Christ. And that grace was manifested in specific ways. Do you notice that in verse 5? It says that in every way you were enriched in Him, that you were enriched in speech and in all knowledge. Paul is noting that the Corinthian Christians, they have received grace not just for salvation, but they received grace also to grow in speech and how they talk to each other, to grow in knowledge, in the knowledge of God, in the knowledge of God's work in all of history. Paul is thanking God for what grace was given in the past. And as I think about us today, too, I look across us this morning and I see how God has given you grace in the past. Maybe it was in the first moment of you realizing that you needed a Savior and God poured out His grace upon you. I love hearing stories of testimonies from people, hearing how God saved them. But God has given you grace along the way, through the ups and downs of life, through the ups and downs of being a church as well. God has given us grace so far. And we can say, we can set up an Ebenezer stone, so to speak, and say, thus far, the Lord has helped me. God has worked in our past. And He has worked, as it says in verse 6, as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you. God not only has us as a congregation now, but He has worked in us in the past. And we praise the Lord for that. We praise the Lord that God has given us His grace, that He has lavished us with His grace, that He has confirmed us in the faith. What does it mean to confirm? One writer says to confirm Christ's testimony in you means to plant it solidly in your hearts by faith. The message of the gospel has gone forth in your past and it has been planted in your life and it is growing and bearing fruit. And so Paul, he says, you are now God's church. You have received grace in the past. And there's one more, right? The spirits of congregation future, in a sense. He says a message to the church that God will sustain you to the end. That He will sustain you together all the way to the end. Listen to verses 7 through 9. He says, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. See, the beauty is not just rejoicing that we're a congregation right now, or the Corinthian church was a congregation at that point in that time. Nor is it only about what God has done in the past. We praise God for what all the grace given to us in the past. But we move forward knowing that God sustains us individually and together as a congregation as we move into the future. And that was a message that the Corinthian church needed to hear. And that's a message that we need to hear again today. And so in verses 7 through 9, he switches not just from speaking about right now, but it starts to go into a future tense that God will do this. God will continue to give His grace. Grace given in the past, grace right now, grace into the future. God says this, Paul says this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that He will sustain you till the end. That He will make you guiltless in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. As you wait for the revealing of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we move into the future, as we wait for the great appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, the return of Jesus Christ, the Lord sustains us. The Lord gives us grace along the way. The Lord will make us guiltless on that day. And that's amazing grace to us. As we think about this messed up congregation, as we think about us as messed up individuals, sinners, and for God to say He's going to make us blameless at the day of the return of Jesus Christ. What great news for us to receive today and to cling to as we receive this message to the church. And so now we walk into the future knowing that God's grace will sustain us along the way. And so what we have in this letter, 1 Corinthians, is the start of what we have here is a start to the message to the Corinthian Christians. And we receive it also as a modern-day congregation. As we think about us as a church and as pastors think about their churches, I was reading recently about a group of pastors as they reflected upon their ministry. And one pastor said, this idea changed the way he served. He said, I look at and understand my congregation as a holy congregation. That has revolutionized the way I have gone about my work, treating my congregation with respect and dignity. You see, as I think about congregational life and as I think about your pastor, I see the failures and fears and warts and all of that. And sometimes my flesh pounds my conscience over and over again and says, you're a failure as a pastor. And you know what? Sometimes that's true. And I ask you, church, forgive me. And sometimes my flesh attacks me and says, look at our church. Look at this that's going wrong. Look at that that's going wrong. And the enemy whispers to us, wants to knock down our dignity as a congregation. And you know what? Sometimes it's even true. But you know what also is true? Is that together, you and I, as a congregation, God has given us grace in the past. He's forgiven our sin, He's worked in us. He's called us to Christ. He's called us to join together as a congregation. We find ourselves in this moment, in this place, in this building, in this location, with the identity as the called out ones of Jesus Christ, saints together. And we move together into the future, knowing that God's grace will sustain us. And as much as we would maybe want to focus on our warts and failures and shortcomings, we have God's grace that forgives us. It doesn't excuse that, but we go forward being sustained by God's grace all the way to the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which we look forward to with zeal and with passion. And so we embark on a journey. A journey of walking through this wonderful letter that God has given and preserved to us, and we'll receive what God would have us to receive through this letter. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for how you spoke to congregations in the past. Thank you for how you're speaking to us as a congregation. Thank you for how you're speaking through your word to other congregations in all places and in all times. Pray, God, that you would lavish us with your grace, that our sin might be dealt with here, and that that your grace might forgive us and strengthen us and sustain us. Thank you today. We respond and say, praise you, Lord. Thank you. Lord, would you do a work in us and through us, that you would rise us up as a congregation, marching forward, confident in our future, that you will sustain us and bless us and use us in this place and in this time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.